Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, where I am joined with my audacious and auspicious, not to be confused with the suspicious, Miss 100%. Yeah, not to be confused with her. Anyway, if you want to holler at us, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And if you want to catch up to me and Miss 100%, you know, Facebook, Twitter tag, my yearbook, you want to catch up to me, I'm on Twitter. You just follow me, Smooth Drama. Everywhere else, Facebook, Twitter tag. I mean, not Twitter tag. My yearbook, Wayne, whatever. I'm Dick Hugger. Add me. I'll add you back. Or you can go to our Smooth Drama site, and you can join our Yahoo group, and you get to holler at me, Miss 100%, and the rest of the homies. But as always, we say the best for last. If you want to really, really get your stalk on, Miss 100%, tell them where they can get their real stalk on. They can catch up to you.
A real stalk on? Call the police station and give us a bomb time. I don't want anybody stalking me, but I would like to have some fun conversation with people, so you can hit me up. Miss 100% spelled out on Facebook. You can get me on tag. At Miss Sure Thing, or you can email me directly at imnotonbs@yahoo.com.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Alright. Well, getting started, for those of you who still follow baseball playoffs, the Boston Red Sox didn't make the playoffs. Everybody in Boston is jumping off bridges and in the cars and buses and all that other foolishness. Mm. Boston Red Sox collapsed and didn't make the playoffs. Well, one of their players, Adrian Gonzalez, first baseman, MVP candidate, all that, sat in his chair and he said that, and I will quote him, "It was all part of God's plan that the Red Sox failed to make the playoffs because God didn't have it in the cards for us."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So now it's God's fault.
Well, you know, God didn't want them to make the playoffs because, you know, baseball is one of them things that God would think would be very important.
I mean, it's right up there on the top of the list of everything else, you know?
Right.
But, wow, God. I think I'm going to stay away from that one just a little bit. I might.
I mean,
I really don't think God cares about baseball. There are so many other things that are important.
Hold on. You see the players, they hit a home run or they shoot a basket and make it, or they score a touchdown and they point up. Like, yeah.
Well, I think that has more to do with personal goals and things that they have prayed to God about, and they are just giving thanks, you know, for helping them reach their personal goals. But in the grand scheme of baseball, I don't think God said, okay, you know, this is the team that I want to win, so this team has to lose. In that sense, he doesn't care.
Well, I'll say this also. I think God helps you hit a home run or catch the ball.
He can certainly help you with your own ability. But as far as everything else, again, I don't think that God is really into baseball like that.
Well, I agree with you, but then I will disagree in saying I don't think that you can pray and be able to hit a fastball. You kind of have to practice.
Here we go. Once again, I'm going to break it down real fine.
You ain't got to break it down. I got it.
If you have personal goals that you want to meet, if there are things that you want to do and you want to do better,
mm-hmm.
prayer, in my opinion, helps. But you have to go out and you have, like you said, practice and all of that. Now, if you mess up, don't blame it on God and say that, oh, well, God didn't want it for me because I didn't, you know, meet my own expectations. That's not God's fault.
No, he said it's the whole team. You know, God didn't want the whole team.
Well, of course.
Not just him. The whole team.
Well.
Yeah.
He's just a little misguided, that's all.
Just a little bit. Now, speaking of misguided, we're going to go from him to the sperm donor.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about him.
Now, he told his fiance he may have 70 biological children. And, you know, I read some of the comments, whatnot. And for those of you who don't know, there's a show on TV, another one of these reality shows.
Yeah.
Why am I talking about a reality show? Anyway, it's on the Style Network called Sperm Donor. And it follows the life of a guy who's been a sperm donor for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, and him saying he has 70 children. Okay, he's a sperm donor. That's kind of part of the job.
I don't know why this is even TV or if this is even news, but I did happen to catch the show. And the one thing that really bothered me is the fiance. And she's just so insecure. What if the women want you? What if the kids want to say hi to you? We're about to get married. What's going to happen when we have our own family? Oh, God, you know what? Dude, find another woman and move on because she's just too juvenile for my taste. Right?
Can I say that this is kind of scripted TV?
Yeah. And like you said, he did it in college. He started doing that in college. These are not people he laid down with and got pregnant. These are people that wanted a baby and they just happened to get his sperm. Period.
Yeah. And so the kids contacting him or whatnot, I mean, it's not really on him.
Well, he registered. Actually, he registered and put his information on there so that the kids could contact him.
Well, now, and here's the other thing. You know, I was sitting up there thinking, like, you know, a person like myself who's you know, I'm pro masturbation, whatnot. You know, these dudes, they get anywhere from $35 to $100 per specimen. And part of the condition is you have to produce a specimen 4 to 8 times per month. That's, I mean, if you do the math, if you're at the high end at like $100 a specimen,
mm-hmm.
at 8 to 10 times a month, that's.
Yeah.
That's like $1,000 a month.
Yeah. He did say he made about $900 a month doing it while he was in college. He did say that.
I mean, I'm like, I wish I'd thought of that when I was in college. That's some extra income for something that you was gonna do anyway.
You're right. Why waste it, huh?
I'm saying, you know, if people are going to pay you for what you was going to just do for free.
I cannot believe we're talking about this.
Well, think about it. I mean, because you think about all the kids, the student loans and all that they owe.
Mm-hmm.
That $900 a month in school.
It adds up.
Yeah.
Every penny count where you're.
Exactly. 8 to 10 visits. To the office? That's all I gotta do?
8 to 10 visits that I can imagine a chick walking up, you know, trying to throw something at him, like, no thanks, I'm tuckered out.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'll holler at you tomorrow. Any kid in school, you need some extra money. Why not? Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes perfect sense to me.
That's a good idea for guys, you know, that like to father kids and not take care of them too. The ones that like to wear the I'm a dad shirt, but you know I'm not a father.
Well, yeah. I think that's just it'd be a good idea for anybody. I mean, they have criteria, though.
Yeah.
So, if you're...
Let's not get into the criteria.
So, I mean, I'm just saying. You... Anyway.
That's why I said something. Yeah.
Yeah, we gonna move on from there. Well, there was one thing that I was reading where they were talking about this the Bridgewater State radio station was threatened for not playing a song that was requested by an ex-student. This dude was calling multiple times and they told him that the song wasn't in their catalog. So after he got turned down, he said, "Hey, I'm gonna bring a gun and I'm gonna shoot up the station."
Seriously? Dude, just go to Best Buy and buy the freaking CD. Get over it. Or download it for free on off the internet and listen to it all day long. As a matter of fact, go to YouTube, type the name of the song in, and keep listening to it on YouTube. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Hey. Don't threaten me with a bad song. Yeah, I don't understand it, but I can already tell you, homie, whatever you ask me for, we ain't got it.
He's dumber than a box of rocks. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, we are based in Ohio.
Oh, wow. That was funny.
I know. But something that's even funnier, you know that there's these students who are trying to bring healthy food into people's lives, and they want you to eat bugs. Yeah, University of Chicago kids, well, not University of Chicago kids, University of Chicago students, they're hoping to make eating bugs mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and nothing like a caterpillar sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Nummy, nummy, nummy. Well, I mean, supposedly they're saying, you know, with what's happening with food and whatnot, that you can eat what they call intim foods, which is entomology, the study of insects, and you know they're talking about this is something that can help for people vegetarian and whatnot, and still getting your protein. Like you can get sugar cookies with crickets, and you know, because they say insect meat is economical and is ecological food source.
You know what? I actually think that that's a very smart idea.
Mm.
Like they said, with the way that things are going now with food supply and, you know, overpopulation and all of that, I mean, there's bound to be a lot of people that will be eating bugs and rats and animals and eating out the garbage cans and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you can eat a cricket or a whatever cockroach and get your protein and all of the different vitamins and stuff that you need to survive, then that's a good, really good survival tip, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, there's nothing like candied ants. Yeah. And jello worms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just makes me want to go in the kitchen and just start cooking. No, I'm just
kidding. Now, one of our bloggers, Chocolate, begs the question, vegetarians will eat insects but not animals?
I love it. I see a topic for another show.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't be eating at any of those restaurants anytime soon. That's just me. And on that note, we're going to take our first break. And we're gonna go down south where they got a whole lot of bugs and roaches down there. It'd be an ecological bonanza. Anyway, this is Big Trip. American rap star.
And they and all once told me you could determine the worth of a song within 15 seconds of it playing, with complete and utter lack of the fact that it takes all 3 minutes and 40 seconds of a song to comprehend what I'm saying. It ain't a single if it don't fly. It ain't a hit if it don't ride. Now you couldn't tell me the components of a smash, but their ringtones were the all-time high. And a rapper's only as big as a chain. A flashy of the best. They say that money made the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. Or when you're maxing out your bank account. Yeah, you do it all just to live the life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the hype of American rap. To the limit. Why? Just to get a by, we'll do it, Grand Kid. Ride around town like I never lived in it. Gun in my dad, pray I never kill with it. I'm that real with it, got my eyes on the prize. Be a steel dude, motherfuck 9 to 5. Searching for a freak, down the fuck once or twice. Wanna buy a bottle, but I ain't paid my tithe. It's no lie, I got a vision and a master plan. To hit the block and blow up like the Taliban. I make it where my plane never have to land. I make it where them lames never stand a chance. Shit, you never know, only time will tell. You see the starve or you find a skill. You either find or you're trying to sell. You either fall or you grind the rails. They say that money make the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. But when you're missing out your bank account, yeah, you do it all just to live the life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the hype of American rap. Get it how I live. Waiting on my mom screaming, fuck how they feel. Dodging jail cells in the big trying to kill. They shot off the grants where it gave a nigga chill. Just keep it real, if you ain't looking, then your eyes closed. Will I pay what I owe? Only God knows. I ain't for sure, give me shrimp just to chain what I can. And understand the difference between a nigga and a king that I am. Gotta keep your finger on the trigger. Pac died, Biggie died, they ain't found a killer. Why does mama say she worried? Cause I rap about the government and how the church caked over people out there struggling.
That's real though.
I just call it how it is, folks. I'm breathing for a reason, what you here for? They got us with the villains who are chill for. Cause they murdered all the heroes. They say that money made the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. Well, you're missing out your bank account. Yeah, you do it all just to live a life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the height of American rap star.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Big Crit, American rap star. I just love him. In a hip hop sort of way. anyway, welcome back to Smooth Drama. Now you know. You know how I feel about rights, whatnot. And I think we're going to have a little mini debate on this. There's a school that won't relax standards on yoga pants. They're saying that there's this school in Ohio that is telling the kids they can't wear yoga pants, but they can wear the tight jeans or the mini skirt or whatnot. And I don't understand. I mean, and let me first preface it by saying that you can't go anywhere where I'm at in the Bay Area without seeing some damn yoga pants. This is the home of yoga pants here. Everybody wear tights, it seems like.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And so a school to say I can't wear yoga pants, I'm like, it's kind of cold. I mean, I understand. I'm wearing these tights because it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not that I wear tights. You know,
well.
Not be a good look for me, that whole Robin Hood men in tights deal ain't for me.
When you said a mini debate, did you want to debate with me?
No, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just wondering about your feelings about people being able to wear tight yoga pants, whatever you want to call them.
Well, two things. I don't think that it's right to say that, okay, yoga pants are not acceptable, but like you said, tight pants and mini skirts are. I mean, they kind of all fit in the same category, but I can also see where they're coming from. When you're in school, you're training to be a professional. So if you're going to train to be a professional, you have to look the part, talk the part, act the part. And part of that is the way that you dress. So I can see them saying about the yoga pants or the tights, because when you say yoga pants, I actually got a different type of picture in my head about yoga pants and tights, because I see them as two different things. And if we're talking about tights, tights can be very revealing, and some women don't wear underwear with them, and you can see straight through them. So that could be one reason why. I mean, I'm just saying that. But, I still don't think that it's right to say, yeah, you can, don't wear the tight, but, you know, wear the thong that's up your back, you know, and the jeans that don't come all the way up on your hips, or wear a mini skirt where, you know, you can see stuff hanging out. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So that's the way I feel.
But, I mean, see, once again, we talking about legislating tacky dress. And that's, I mean, that's the whole point. I know where you're coming from, and I believe that, yeah, you know, some of the stuff that's worn by teens, it's like, really? You want to wear it like that, dog? Or, girl, you really want to have your stuff hanging out like that? And I think that's something that there's some counseling and talking about, you know, self-worth and trying not to fit in with what, quote unquote, is popular,
mm-hmm.
over sexualizing yourself. But at the end of the day, you still should have the right to dress as you want.
I disagree with that.
No matter how tacky it is.
I disagree. Because if it's your organization, if it's your establishment, you have the right to say what's acceptable and not acceptable.
Well, you're talking about work. I'm talking about school.
No, I'm talking about school. There is somebody owns that school, and it's not just the people that are in that school, the people that manages the schools and make, you know, so they think that these are the people that make the rules, but actually this is coming, it's a down trickle effect. It's people at the top that says that this is my house and this is what I want to go on in my house. And if you can't accept the rules, then move in with somebody else. And it's the same thing with the job.
Yeah, but we're talking about private school versus public school. Public school, we pay for that. So it's actually our house.
But if this is a college, it's not a public school.
Yeah, but college, you can wear damn near anything. We talking about a school, a high school.
This is a high school?
A high school, a middle school. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
And I can see that, too.
Uh-huh.
I can see that, too, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in high school.
It doesn't matter whether you're fully dressed or not. It's going to go on in high school regardless.
But I'm just saying the way that, just with the saggy pants thing, you know, it's a lot of people that are ignorant, and they do things because of the way people are dressed. They think that the way a person dresses is saying this or saying that, so they react to it out of ignorance. So I can understand where, yeah, we shouldn't be legislating the way people dress, but again, I mean, these are the rules that you have to follow. I mean, it's just, I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking people to dress appropriately.
Okay.
That's just all I'm saying. And I don't know, what part of Ohio, because all the schools that I know in Ohio are in uniform.
Cincinnati.
Well, there you go. It's disgusting.
All right, there's something wrong with Cincinnati we don't know about.
Cincinnati is off the chain. Cincinnati can be good and it can be bad all at the same time. I just, Cincinnati is up there.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
He's so small, Cincinnati ain't nothing to be messing with, so.
All right. It changes subjects. I was reading about something that really I didn't understand, and it goes to the whole athletics and the wrong message being sent. There's a young man who is so good in Arkansas that they created a special rule for him. There was a guy named Madre Hill who plays for Arkansas Razorbacks in college. And there's an 11-year-old, Demias Jimerson, who reminds a lot of people of him. And it's like he scores almost every time he touches the ball in Pee Wee football. So what they did, they invoked a rule that came to be known as the Madre Hill rule, that once Hill scored 3 touchdowns, if his team had a 14-point lead, officials banned him from scoring any more touchdowns. Now, for the first time since, they're using that same rule for Demias Jimerson. I don't get that.
You know what? This is where I'm sorry, people. Normally I'm poised and I try to keep, you know, the way that I talk, you know, to a minimum. But this is the reason why we have a lot of punk ass people in this world. Because the parents and other people don't like competition. They're afraid of competition. They're afraid of people being different. And then they pass that bullshit off on their kids, and the kids grow up to be sniffling wimps.
You want to tell us how you really feel?
If he's naturally that good, that is just so dead wrong to do this to this kid. Come on now.
You know what I mean?
A bunch of bullshit. I would find a way to sue the hell out of him.
Because I'm like, hold on. And they're saying this is only for 5th and 6th grade. I don't get it. So I'm up by 14 and I can't score. And so if the other team comes back and they score, I can't fall no more?
They're basically saying that they want this child to not do the best of his, you know, to his ability, just because other kids are not as good, you know, as good as he is. Listen, this is the world. Whoever these people are that made up this world, I'm talking to you. This is the world that we live in. Suck it up, grab your nuts, and move the hell away. Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
at least I gave a warning before I said it.
No, I'm agreeing with you, and I understand because there's the other part, because when you're talking about Pee Wee football, as one of the bloggers is saying, you know, there's the 99-0 football game. It's not fun to win by that much. I get that, and you know, I've seen both sides of it. And I just think that, okay, from there, that there's somebody else that plays, but you don't necessarily, I mean, I'm up by 14. It's just, I think it should be more than that, because football is a fickle game. And I've seen a team come back from 20-something down and win a Pee Wee football game where the other team was being merciful. And before they knew it, that momentum had swung against them, and it was too late to try to amp them back up. I agree with you, you know. And the blogger, it's a fine line, but you playing them to win, and the other team, yeah, you have mercy on them, and you just run it or something like that. Have them fall down, but I think with little kids, you can't stifle a child.
Thank you.
You got to let him be who he is, and then after he's got the big lead, then you just take him out and hey, good job, homie. Mm-hmm. Good damn job.
But I mean, our job as parents and coaches and teachers and counselors are to groom and mold children to be the best that they can be in life, not just in sports and not just while they're little, but I mean, all along the way for every avenue of life. And to focus on this and just say, no, we know that you're good, but we don't want you to be that good because it upsets other people. So now the other children are watching this and they're getting the impression that they're going to be able to go through life thinking that people are just going to take it easy on them because they're having a hard time competing. This is life. Think about it. It's life.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of life. Now, I've cracked up. I mean, my homies, they coach and run Pee Wee football, and I've heard some of these parents. Some of these parents are ridiculous. You know, the kill him. I mean, the parents who are stabbing coaches, chasing referees.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, and that feeds into it. And I think that may be what they're trying to be good and not embarrassing kids. But at the same time, you know, a young man like that, I think that there's got to be a better way than to, as to say, stifle his growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of stifling growth, I don't know if y'all been following or if you've been following this whole Wall Street protesters. They're occupying Wall Street and getting arrested on New York City.
That's something like Dawn of the Dead. That's something like zombies.
Well, I get you protesting Wall Street. I don't understand why y'all don't protest when it comes time to voting and voting in people who are going to follow your agenda. I mean, Wall Street, they're not voted in. they're just people who do the stock and handle the finances. Your politician that you voted for or didn't vote for or whatnot are the ones who you should be protesting. If your politician is signing some stuff, I mean, it's sort of like the bailout. In these bailouts, they bail out the banks and all these businesses, and then they went on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where was y'all at?
They were sitting on Facebook posting links.
And you know, that's technically what they was doing. And I'm not against, you know, posting your links or whatnot. And, you know, there's been protests, like the blogger says, all over the nation. But at the same time, when y'all gonna get serious about your neighborhood? I mean, 'cause that's where it's at.
That's where it starts. That's where it begins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if your politician is paid for by these special interest people, you have to get a politician that ain't paid for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where it is. And yeah, they got arrested. I mean, and they wanted to show that they care. I just think that we got to do something when we organize a little bit better, so that when it really counts, from the little city council guys in the neighborhood all the way to your congressman, they should be beholden to you. And if your congressman is not beholden to you, you get his ass up or her ass up out of there.
So why were they arrested?
Well, they decided to walk. Instead of being on the crosswalk, they wanted to walk on the bridge in the actual street. Yeah.
Moving right along. No. So they weren't actually arrested for protesting. They were arrested.
Well, I mean, it was part of the protest. Yeah, but it was part of the protest. It's just, I understand the sentiment. I mean, I feel that same way, but I just think that there's something more constructive that you can do.
I'm going to show you, Mr. Ossifer. I'm going to walk in the street. I ain't going to walk on the sidewalk like you.
Did you say Ossifer?
Ossifer. Got to show you, Mr. Ossifer.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. This is Mystic. Ghetto lullaby. I can't even talk now.
No, baby, don't you cry. You don't have to be afraid.
Y-S-T-I-C. Ready?
I guess on a Fox and Friends interview, He said that Obama outing on the links, you know, golfing with House Speaker John Boehner, it'd be like Hitler playing golf with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And they asked him to clarify. He said, they're the enemy. And when he said the enemy, he meant Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. It never ceases to amaze me that people will make these type of the whole Hitler. I keep missing the point on the Hitler reference.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that one out myself.
Because I'm thinking Hitler, if I'm not mistaken, 100, was he not the guy who was talking about killing everyone who wasn't blonde hair and blue eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, yeah, even though he wasn't blonde hair or blue eyes, he said kill everybody that wasn't. Now, last time I checked, and maybe because and this is the whole black man thing, I guess they're saying that Obama, the enemy, would be trying to get people who don't look like him into these death camps or whatnot. Now, I know personally, as a black man, I never received the call that said go out and kill white people or put them in concentration camps. I haven't gotten that call. Now, you, Miss 100%, as a black woman, I'm going to ask you, because maybe they didn't send the message to black men. Maybe they sent them to black women. Did you get your message or text message or email or something?
I thought I had heard something. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, come on. As if this man doesn't take enough abuse and disrespect from people already, for him to just open his mouth and remove all doubt about his ignorance, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he's just an honorable mention dumbass, really. So,
yeah, I don't think it's honorable mention. I think he's all the way.
Well, he's an A grade, A plus asshole. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, see, because I can get you against his politics. Because I've always asked, what is his politics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nobody can say that.
So when you're saying it's politics, you're talking about
healthcare,
foreign policy, all of that different kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's talking about. You know, I mean, honestly, but you know that's just me, because I understand that he's connected to the power structure that holds the people back. He's part of that whole system. I mean, it's one of them things that it's funny they will compare him to Hitler, but he's actually of Jewish descent. You know, he's a cousin of what is his name? Dick Cheney's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're cousins, because his mama is Dick Cheney's wife's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're related.
You know, I just
I just wonder. You won't talk about that. You talk about this foolishness. I don't get it, Hank Williams.
And that's all it is. The only thing that he did was got himself a couple minutes of, you know, free publicity, but it's not free because, you know, his commercial making days are over.
You know, I think that he's going to sell a lot of records now.
Yeah, to certain types of people, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, who's going to sell to them anyway? I don't think there was a lot of hood love for him, no way.
Right.
Before this or after, either way.
Yeah, but if ESPN pulls the plug on him, it's kind of like a murder suicide, though.
Right.
Because you have to have endorsement, you know, you have to, you know, be able to get your stuff out there and market your stuff. So you can make as many records as you want to, but without promotion and marketing and stuff, it's really hard to sell.
Well, well, he's been doing this for a while, so I think he's got an audience. But we should move on because we're wasting time talking about this idiot.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the exact opposite of idiots is this whole, for those of you who don't know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Just in case you didn't know, I am. And I think I have converted Miss 100%.
Just a little bit, not completely.
Yeah, she's a blossoming conspiracy theorist. Now, talking about conspiracy theories, because now they're talking about smart cities, where the cities would be looking after their citizens all by themselves, because each city will have an operating system called the Urban OS, which will be working like a PC operating system, which keeps building traffic and services running. And the software in data from the sensors all around the city are to keep an eye on what's happening in the city. You know, supposedly, and this is how they put it, in the event of a fire, for example, the urban operating system might manage traffic lights so fire trucks can reach the blaze swiftly. Isn't that nice?
Why are they going to manage traffic lights? I mean, they go full me damn way.
Yeah. That's what I said to myself.
That makes no sense. And where did they get this name urban? So then now they're going to test it and or they're going to implement it into, let's put it out there, black neighborhoods, just like the cameras.
Well, you
don't see any cameras in the suburbs, the traffic cameras. You don't see not one traffic camera in the suburbs. They're all in the inner city.
Well, see, and see, once again, you got to understand the technology behind all that. Because you put it in, you say that it's for fire trucks and things of that nature. Then you say, well, it's in high crime areas to help bring down the crime. And then once it's accepted, it's everywhere.
Funny, everybody always talks about the crimes, the petty crimes that are in the inner city, but they never talk about the big crimes that go on outside the city. You know, it's, in order for it to be drugs and things like that in the inner city, it has to come from the outside.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it. You got to look at it from that perspective, and also the perspective of it won't fly if you just put it everywhere. You have to make it in the poor neighborhoods first. Like, we're doing it to fight crime and to help out the urban areas.
Here we go again with the trying to scare people again.
Right. Yeah.
Scare people. Help us. The black people are going to get us. So, okay, we'll implement all these different systems and all of these different cameras and things. You can't go anywhere without being watched now. But
still, how is that going to prevent crime? Because a criminal don't give a shit if you're looking at. They will steal your TV right in your face. So you think really think that people care that so-called operating systems are going to be around?
That's the whole point. It's not about the petty crime. It's about watching everybody. Because just as it will be implemented into the hood, it will be implemented into the suburbs also.
I don't think so.
You got to understand how it works. You got to make it look like I'm trying to get them, but mm-hmm. and you just try and keep everybody in line.
Everybody under control.
Yeah, and that's, you got to start off with the people nobody cares about. Take away their rights, and then you can take away everybody's rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the slippery slope. Speaking of the slippery slope on that level, something that's near and dear to me, I'm reading this article about South Africa. And those of you who don't know, South Africa has an alarming rape rate. It's notoriously bad. And there's this article talking about, do men hold the key to fighting rape in South Africa? I'm like, well, yeah, they kind of do, because I don't think there's an overabundance of women raping men in South Africa. I think it's the other way around, from corrective rape to just, it's like a badge of honor. It's like over here, it's like, you know, a dude is a stud for having sex. Over there, a dude is a stud for committing rape.
Right. Yeah. And I think that it was something like 1,500 women a day in that area are raped.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is in front of their children, in front of their husbands. And by them saying, do men hold the key? I see two aspects. I see one. Yeah, they do, because they're the ones doing the raping. So, I mean, the key is fucking cut it out. I mean, what other key could there be to stopping or preventing rape than to stop doing it? And then another thing is that the women aren't protected by their spouses, because, like, for political things, they rape women to send a message. And the men stand by and watch, or they're either, you know, if a man, you know, resists or tries to help, they kill him. And a lot of the men don't even resist. They run away because they don't want to die. So they stand by and watch their wife get raped, or they run away. So the other part of that would, you know, men, when you marry, you're supposed to protect your family at all costs.
Well, I mean, but see, that's one of the issues that's prevalent because of the lawlessness over there.
Right.
They will kill men, rape the women, take the young boys, and make them part of their militia, whatnot.
Right, exactly.
It's one of them situations that I don't know how you can correct it, because you have, it's a culture.
Yeah.
It's a culture of, like I said, I'm a stud.
It's something that's expected.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'm expecting to be disappointed every time I talk about that, but we're going to move on. Thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are, even though you are quite suspicious. I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, because I ain't down with the N-word. And this is Miss 100%, who is behind me, on side of me, and in front of me. 100%. The smooth drama, and we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
Smooth.